Today is Monday, April the 9th, 2018, and we are in the Founders Room at the Community Center in Raven Landing Senior Community in Fairbanks, Alaska. I am Nona Howard, and I'm here with Barbara Clark. And Barbara, I want to thank you so much for coming and for being a part of this and for being a part of Raven Landing's stories that are going to be printed for all to read here when they come to Raven Landing. It's called the Raven Landing Resident Stories Project. First, we'll start a little with biographical information. I'd like for you to tell us when and where you were born.
I was born in 1926 in Lafayette, Indiana, and spent just the first year and a half, 2 years of my life there in Lafayette, where my father was a minister. And then he left the ministry and went to Kalamazoo College as a history professor. And so we moved from Lafayette to Michigan, to Kalamazoo, and that's where I grew up and went to grade school.
Oh, so you grew up there in Kalamazoo?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And so how long were you there? You were there through grade school?
Until I was in a sophomore in high school, and my father suddenly died, and so my mother had to get a job, and we moved to St. Joe, Michigan, where I finished high school.
Did you have any siblings?
I had an older sister, not very much older, a year and a half older, and a younger brother, 6 years younger.
Tell us something about some of your childhood memories and your childhood experiences and things, your favorite times as a child.
Well, I had a couple of girlfriends, and we played a lot of cowboy and Indian type pioneer stuff. We lived on the campus of Kalamazoo College, and the campus at that time was largely woods behind the buildings, and so we had a lot of fun playing in the woods, climbing trees and all that sort of thing. And in the summers, we had a summer place on Elk Lake in the more northern lower peninsula of Michigan, and many of the happiest memories of my childhood were going to up north to our camp. And we lived in a tent for a while, and then we built a bunkhouse and did everything from the ground up and lived on the shore of Elk Lake. It was a wonderful physical childhood.
Good, good. And then what about when you left there? What did you do there when you
Well,
when you were a teenager?
Then I went back to Kalamazoo College for 4 years and graduated. And then I went to Indiana to Purdue University to get a master's degree. And while I was there, I met my husband-to-be, and we were married, and then I had twins.
Oh, my gosh.
And just before I remember walking across the stage to get my diploma with my master's gown not quite buttoned in front with the big belly. But from then on, I was a mother, of course.
Okay, so you met your husband and you got married, and when was that?
Oh, I can't put a number on it.
Oh, you can't put the year that you were married?
No.
Oh. Oh, that's okay.
I have a very poor memory for numbers, for dates.
Well, do you have any stories that you'd like about your parents or your ancestors or anything that you would like to be put on your history?
My grandparents, my mother's parents, were my one older relative that we knew closely. And they were a couple that lived together, a married couple, for a very long time. They both lived to be 100, and they were married for 75 years, and I always thought that was such a wonderful achievement. And one year when I was in college, I stayed with them, lived with them in their little apartment while I worked in the local Kalamazoo paper company. And so I felt quite close to them, to my grandparents. And we would visit them, and they lived in Lafayette when I was in grade school, and we would go visit them during the summer for a week or so. And it was very, very warm and friendly.
Yeah, well, good. Can you tell us what brought you to Alaska?
Well, my husband died suddenly, and we were living in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan by then. And so I had to go I wanted to go somewhere. I didn't have any relatives in Houghton or Hancock, where I lived at the time. And because I was looking at where my children were, I had 4 kids by then, I didn't want to live in Southern California, where my one son lived. And I didn't want to live in New York and Long Island, where one of my daughters lived. And I didn't get along quite as well with the spouse of my other son. So my daughter Frances lived here in Alaska. And so I decided that was where I would go. Never people thought I was kind of nutty taking off to the great last frontier.
What year? Do you remember what year that was?
That was in about 2002. Early
1920.
No, 20. This is just, I've only lived here for about 15 years.
Okay.
So it was just not very long ago. It was in the 20s, the 2000.
And you came here in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm still a Chichaco, I guess. Not quite.
Well, tell us about, that brought you to Alaska. And tell us about your career. After you got out of college, what did you do?
Well, I went to work. I had twins when I got out of college, before I got my master's degree, just barely after. And so that really was all I could handle for a while. And I never did really teach anything. I mean, I never had a job. By the time my kids were in school, I started teaching. So it was a long time after I graduated from college that I started teaching biology. And strangely enough, the whole subject of biology had been turned topsy-turvy by the discovery of DNA and RNA and all the chemicals that were going on in the cell.
Oh, my God.
So I had a lot of relearning to do to keep up with modern biology.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, I taught for a few years at a college, was SUMI College at the time, but it became University, Finland University. But anyway, it was a Finnish school. But I taught there for a while, and then I got a job teaching at a little country school, physics and chemistry, so there was more studying to do for that. But I didn't teach for very many years. Actually, I just barely made the 10-year vesting situation. But I was involved in politics. I was involved I ran for the state legislature and didn't win, but came in second out of a large field of men. So it was quite an experience anyway.
Yeah.
But I became active in county commissioner. I was on the county commission for a while. And I was on the city constitutional committee. We had a new charter commission. And so I served on the charter commission for 3 years, and we wrote a new charter for City of Hancock. And following that, I ran for city council. And so I was on the council and mayor for a few years, and just generally did a...
But you were the mayor.
Yeah. The mayor was actually elected by the council itself as its chair.
Oh.
So it wasn't a position that you had to run for, separate of just running for the council. Mm-hmm. So I've spent about 8 years on the city board. We put in a new sewage department, we put in a new fire department, fire hall, and we put in a new... We hosted a new hospital, so some things,
wonderful.
Lively things were going on.
What wonderful history to have for your children.
But I really, my main life work, if you want to think of it that way, was volunteering. I was involved in a number of organizations, environmental and forestry-oriented. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time traveling around amongst the three lake states, mm-hmm. Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And put out a newsletter and did all the stuff you have to. Arranged Washington trips for the group to the lobby there. Legislators for better forest management and whatnot.
Oh, what a wonderful life.
Those kinds of things were not really jobs, but that's what I spent my time doing.
That was your life work, really.
Huh? Yeah.
What led you to your career choice in the beginning?
Well, I always wanted to be a doctor when I was a kid. Mm. And when I got in college and I was accosted with the problem of taking quantitative and qualitative analysis in all the labs and physics and the hard work, I decided that I didn't really want to spend my life studying.
Studying to be a doctor.
And it was a hard... Back in those days, it was a hard job for a woman to get into the medical field. You had to be a heck of a lot better than most of the men in the class to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So it was I decided that I wanted to have a family.
And what did
So
your
then
husband,
I went into teaching.
Yeah. And what did your husband do?
Well, he was an engineer, mm-hmm. electrical engineer, and he worked... he was getting his PhD in math and physics. Mm-hmm. And so we moved around a bit while he was working working in the winter and then going in summer school to Ohio State to get his advanced degree.
Yeah.
And then we had the opportunity to go to Michigan Tech, which is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and as head of the electrical engineering department. So he did that for 10 years and then retired as department head and taught until he retired. It's totally...
He retired.
Yeah.
So he didn't die when your children were young.
No, my father did.
Your father did.
But no, he didn't die. He died a couple of years before I moved up here.
Oh, uh-huh. So
it was very sudden, but not
you had a long marriage.
Yeah.
So
we were married for 50 years.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Can you tell us about anything that you would like for your descendants to know about your career that you haven't told us yet?
Well, I don't really feel like I had much of a career.
Oh.
And because I didn't teach all that much.
Right.
And
so you're
and I didn't get paid for anything else.
Well, can you tell us what some of your fondest memories are?
Well, I think my fondest memories are some of the trials and tribulations we had involved in summer homes and cabins and extracurricular activities. We've had a couple of events, canoeing, that were pretty scary, and we were fortunate to survive. One was in the Yellowstone National Park. The river was very full, and it was early summer, June, and the glacial melt was coming down. It was it was a hot day, a lot of sun, and cold, cold, cold water. And we had two canoes, and we were canoeing down, and one of the canoes got stuck in a fallen tree into the water. And by the time, that was my husband's canoe. He had one of the girls and one of the littler boys in his canoe, and I had the other daughter and the other two boys, the other boy in my canoe. And we find that by the time I saw them go into this mess and get stuck, and by the time we were able to get to shore and stop, because we were going so fast in the river, they were totally out of sight. So after we got parked, and my daughter got a hold of a bush, and I said, "Don't let go of that bush for anything." And we got out of the canoe, and I walked back through the bushwhacking through the edge of the river to find what happened to the other canoe. Oh, in the meantime, out in the middle of the river, here comes one of the little boy floating on his life jacket. And so it was I couldn't stand up in the water. It was running so swiftly. But I had a rope, and the rope, 20-foot rope tied to the canoe, the 17-foot canoe, and then another 20-foot rope in the bow. And by the time I got out where I could reach him, that line of ropes was all I had to hang on to. So we got ashore. By the time we got our two canoes back together with our boat and our kids, it was evening, and we were dead tired and sunburned to a crisp. And we sat in the tent and put a can of beans on the top of the stove. And when it was warm, we ate the beans and died. But it was a very exciting experience.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And another time, my husband and I were canoeing. without the children, fortunately, in Lake Superior on Isle Royal. And there was a huge storm, and we stayed ashore. We were fine during the storm, but when the storm, the next day, the storm was over, but the waves were still immense, crashing on the shore. And we were on an island. We had to get into the mainland, main island, and we started paddling. We'd go up one side of the wave and down the other side of the wave, these huge rollers. And going into the harbor, there was a shoal underground, under the water. And you could see these immense breakers where they would break right over that spot. And so we were having to go around that. And I got antsy, and we started to cut across when there weren't any waves, when there weren't any breakers at the moment. And as we went over that shoal, a wave just came right over my head and filled the canoe. And so we had to push the boat. The boats didn't sink, but it was up to the top in water. And we had to push the boat and get around that bend to get out of the waves and get ashore. And we hardly made it. We just barely got there. And then we were so cold we couldn't talk to each other. We were just shaking. We had a little Boy Scout keep the matches dry container and decided we would light a fire so we would warm up, and unscrewed the lid and poured the water out of the container. So it was, when there was a ranger that we knew was going by, we could hear his boat. So we ran to a big rock promontory and waved to him, and he waved back. And finally we got frantic enough that he did stop by to see what was wrong with us. So he took us back to his cabin, and we were able to spend the night in a stinky used sleeping bag. It was in the firefighters' emergency equipment. So we survived.
Canoe back?
We finally did. The canoe, we could just empty the water out of it once we got warmed up. But it was a scary experience.
Well, good.
So we've done a lot of interesting things.
Yeah, it sounds like you have. Yes. Are there any more that you'd like to have put on the record?
I don't believe so. Okay. Except that I'm glad I came here.
Well, that's my next question. Can you tell us about how you came to Raven Landing?
Well, when I was looking around after my husband died, and I was looking around to see where I wanted to go, my daughter sent me this brochure that was about the proposed Raven Landing. And so I read it over, and it sounded like a really neat idea. And I had my eyes on that, but it wasn't done yet. You know, it wasn't built. It didn't have funding. And so I decided to come here and see what I could do to help it along. And so I volunteered in the office while they were at the old center over on Gillam. Cheered them on and participated in the activities that went down and lobbied the legislature once.
Good. And you had experience at that.
Yeah, right, I had. I took a whole bunch of kids from one of my biology classes to Lansing in Michigan once because trying to lobby for the bottle bill, the returnable bottle fee. And we got it, by golly. But we were pretty famous down there in Lansing to have a class of our club, our environment club.
And well, your trip down there with Raven Landing.
Yeah, well, except it was a different legislature.
Yeah.
Being in Juneau rather than Lansing.
Yeah.
But that's why I came. And then when they opened Building 1, I moved in.
First day.
Yep, the first day.
You were the one, one of the first people to be there in Raven Landing.
I think Arlene and I
moved in.
The first, and Vern was one of the first ones too.
Oh, uh huh.
Vern McConnell.
Uh huh. Very good. And since you've moved in, can you tell us about your experience here?
Oh yeah, it was a interesting. One of the interesting things about Raven Landing is that most people that move in here know three or four or five or ten or all other people around them. There are an awful lot of retired teachers and neighbors. I was really felt like a chicacho, because I didn't know anybody.
But you do
now. But boy, you get acquainted. I was on the first residence council.
And that was in 2011 that we opened the first time it opened.
11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you were on the first residence council.
Yeah. And I've been here ever since. I decided to move when they built Building 3 right outside my window of Building 1. I decided I would move to Building 3, and I got a Kellum Street view, which is much nicer.
And what did you rent? Go there for? What did they have that you really wanted?
Well, they had a view.
Well,
and they had a bathtub.
I wanted to get that bathtub word in here.
Yeah, that's one of the very few bathtubs in the whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Community.
yeah, there's just a few of them, yeah. Okay, a final question then. What is or was your favorite age and why?
Well, I kind of think my 50s and 60s, after the kids were all established somewhere, and my husband was retired, and we did some things. That's when I was involved with politics.
Did you do any traveling together at that time?
Yes, we did. We took a bus tour of England and Scotland and Ireland and Wales.
Good.
Which was interesting. And we took a very nice riverboat trip to from Amsterdam to Budapest.
Oh, uh-huh.
Through the Rhine and the
Danube.
Yeah, and the Danube. It was a very nice trip. We took a trip to St. Croix in the Caribbean. The United States Virgin Islands. Had a lot of fun doing that, snorkeling and hiking around and just generally looking sightseeing. And we and then after my husband died, I took a bicycle trip in Belgium and Holland. And we stayed on a canal boat and would bicycle to the next boat spot every day. So we stayed in the same cabin all the time, but we bicycled our way while the boat went through the canals, and so we saw a lot of the countryside, just right down in nitty-gritty next to people's front doors, which was very nice.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like a wonderful life that you've had.
Well, it's been very active.
Yeah.
Up until lately. It is very sad having all these wonderful thoughts of things that you'd like to be doing and know darn well you're never going to be able to.
Right.
So it comes to all of us.
Yeah, it comes to all of us. But you've done so much, and you've done, and I want to thank you so much for being here today and coming here and for sharing and making this project successful.
Well, you're very welcome.
Okay.